You notice that the translation that was up above, we did that again on purpose. But the translation up above was from the New Living Translation, and the translation she was reading was from the NIV. So why do we do that? I think when we look at different translations, we can begin to see some of the nuances of Scripture, some of the truths and the nuances of Scripture that come to us. You can see some of the plain talk that comes from the New Living Translation. And it's a beautiful thing to see and to hear. I had two choices today because we will not be here next week, Heather and I. And I appreciate Session kind of telling us to get out and get away. Not that I want to get away from them at all, by any stretch. But, you know, I was supposed to go hunting, you know, down in West Virginia with Pastor Steve Court. He invited me down the beginning of the month, and that just didn't happen. Too many things going on, too much happening. So we just said we'll just go then at the end of the month. But I was left, because you folks know that I plan sermons so far in advance, I was left with the sermon that I would preach this week or the sermon next week. And I found myself in a little bit of a quandary, because I really like both sermons, and you hate to do all that research for nothing. So so I'm talking today about what I would preach next week. Now what? But in so many ways, it really kind of involves what I was talking about, what I would have talked about this week, about the fact that Jesus himself came to a people who did not accept him at all. And I realize this is what I would have said this week anyway, but I'm saying next week, this week. I'm confusing myself. It's not a good thing. That the world is never going to accept that Messiah. See? They're just not. And here Jesus, who was involved in creation, had a hand in creation, the Savior himself of the world, was not accepted by his own creation. They didn't accept him. So for you and me today, as we are portrayed in our society today, as Christians are portrayed as being a little duncey, being a little dippy, not really all together there. If you watch it on TV shows or whatever, Christians usually are portrayed as kind of ignorant people. They have this simple faith, you know. But I would reiterate to you today that Christianity is different from any other religion in the world. Our faith is different from any other religion in the world. Every other religion, literally every religion, comes down, and I've told you this before, comes down to the fact that there was a teacher who came along, and this teacher began to teach principles about how if you follow these rules, that you'll find nirvana, you'll find heaven, and you know, or you might come back, be reincarnated as something other than a cow, hopefully, a holy cow. There you go. But, you know, every other religion says you got to follow these principles. You got to follow these rules. If you don't follow these rules, you're in trouble. Christianity is the only religion in the world where we recognize that God has sent not a teacher, but a Savior. Not a teacher. Not somebody who said, hey, follow the rules. He said, I'm here for you. Let me come and live within you. We'll get your life straightened out. Might take a while, but we'll get your life straightened out. We're the only one. And yet we're rejected by the world. So, if you were to come next week, we would be talking about this principle. What happened now that Jesus has come? First of all, we find it clearly in Scripture that when God came as a man, it changed everything. That event of a little child being born in a stable changed everything. Everything. For eternity. because God himself became flesh. But what happened? First of all, 400 years of silence came to an end. 400 years of absolute silence from God came to an end. We've talked about this month a little bit. 400 years of silence came to an end. Up until that 400-year period, God had spoken through the prophets. God had spoken through men and women in the Old Testament and spoke to them about how God wanted to reach to them. And God was reaching to humanity and reaching to you and me. And he was reaching through these prophets and through miraculous events that happened in the Old Testament. But for 400 years, there was silence from God. They were expecting the Messiah to come. They didn't know when, but they knew the Messiah would come. And they were expecting a Messiah, of course, that would come into a royal family or come into some kind of great exalted family, but that didn't happen. The 400 years of silence came to an end in Bethlehem, of all places. Into a little village, a town. And it came quietly. Nobody expected that. 400 years of silence came to an end when Jesus lived his life perfectly and had thousands of people follow him, close disciples whom he taught and helped along the way. 400 years had come to an end. 400 years had come to an end, and the people still did not accept it, and they crucified him on a cross. But he rose again the third day, and the silence was over. The silence was over. 400 years of silence had come to an end. Secondly, God himself became human. I know that it's redundant. I know that it's redundant to say this but folks, I love it from this passage. I really love the truth that comes to us from this passage, that God himself became a man. He became Emmanuel, God with us. God became human. I've told you the backstory of how the Gospel of John was written and how Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written to Jewish believers. And they had the backstory of Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They expected a Messiah to come. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as the synoptic gospels, really kind of mirror one another in how they speak about Jesus. But John came along and wrote his letter not to Jewish believers, but to Gentile believers in the city of Ephesus. And they read this letter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they believed that. Because the people of Ephesus and the Gentiles at that time believed in one God. They believed in a higher power, and his name was Word, or the Word, Logos. They believed in the great Logos who created all things. They believed in the great Logos who was the higher power and ran the universe. They believed that. So I think it kind of blew their mind when John said, and Logos became flesh and lived among us. And everybody reading their thing went, did he just say that God became flesh and dwelt among us? The terminology is that he came among us and he pitched his tent among us. It's a cool thought, isn't it? Jesus came. Jesus came as God in the flesh. I love this thing. That's just the greatest thing ever invented, these things. God became human. Third, what happened when Jesus came? Jesus brought grace and truth. Folks, this is redundant, but I don't think that there's a better message for us today. That Jesus himself was full of grace and truth. Again, what is grace? Grace is receiving something from someone that you don't deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is not getting something from someone that they do deserve. Right? But grace is receiving something that you and I don't deserve. We don't deserve the goodness of God. There isn't a soul in here, including myself, believe me. There isn't a person in here who can say, hey, I'm good enough to receive the goodness from God. I'm good enough to receive everything that I've received from God. I deserve it. I still, you know, the requisition is still in for the old VW. It's just not going to happen. So, we don't deserve the things that we have from God. We don't deserve it. But Jesus was full of grace, and he treated everyone with grace, no matter who they were, no matter how they lived, no matter what decisions they had made in their life, he treated everyone with grace. And he was full of truth. He spoke the truth to everyone. He spoke the truth to all people. Now, here's the thing. We know what the scripture says and what Jesus would say. Jesus said before he left, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send another comforter, another spirit to be with you, and it will be my spirit himself to come and live with you. So God now, coming in Jesus, when he died and rose again, sent his spirit now to live in us. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Folks, it's simple. If that little baby that was born was full of grace and truth, if that man who grew up as a child and grew up into a man and had thousands of followers and then people began to say he's not the one and they killed him and he rose again the third day and sent his spirit to live within us, if that same spirit of Jesus who was full of grace and truth is now in us, then he wants us to be full of grace and truth. Treat people with grace. To tell people the truth. Grace and truth alive in us. Hey, that's what Christmas is, gang. His Spirit coming and living in us and dwelling in us. I know I sound redundant when I talk about this. I know that I repeat myself. And no, it's not because the dementia has started already for me. It's not. I am just so moved by that simple truth. For me, I don't know that there is another scripture that could be more solid and more real than the scripture that says that Jesus himself was God in the flesh, and that same Jesus died on a cross, and he sent his spirit, not a mock, not some kind of a copy, not some kind of a little dropper. I've told you in the past, it's not like a little eyedropper of God's spirit or the spirit of Christ. He says, I am making that spirit alive in you, fully alive in you and me. So his spirit now alive in us. We should be full of grace and full of truth. What do our homes look like? Huh? What does our workplace look like? How are we at work? How are we at home? Are we full of grace? Are we full of truth to people? The truth is hard to say sometimes to people. It's really hard. And they don't like the truth sometimes. I don't like to hear the truth sometimes. You know? Believe me, when Heather's on the way home and saying, that sermon was the worst sermon I've ever heard you preach. I don't like that, but it's true sometimes. No, she doesn't say that, actually. It's my sister who says it the next morning. Yeah. Well, folks, the Lord is alive, and he's alive in us, and what a wonderful truth. Father, we do thank you this morning for that truth. We thank you that God came in the flesh as Emmanuel. We thank you, Lord, that same Jesus who died on a cross is now alive in us and living in us. Our prayer, Lord, is that we would just be like you. You know, no rules, no regulations, just your Spirit alive in us, talking to others. Help us to be like you, Jesus, full of grace and truth. We'll thank you for what that means to us today. Bless us, Lord, in this just amazing season of the year of Christmas. Bless us, and we'll give you thanks, Lord, for what you do. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. All the people of God said, amen.